You will remember that last week I preached on that little phrase in verse 17 of Romans chapter 8. In fact, it's not verse 17. That's where we're coming to today. It's verse 16, at the end of verse 16. That little phrase, we are the children of God. And the basis by which we are the children of God, we learned, was the new birth and the spirit of adoption. Every child becomes a child of the family, either by birth or by adoption. And the believer becomes a child of God by both. We are born again of the spirit of God. Children of wrath, children of the devil, as we're born in sin, but born again of the Spirit of God, we are born into God's family, and the Spirit of God adopts us into God's family, and we have the Spirit of adoption in our souls. That's the basis of our sonship, the fact we're children of God, the new birth and the Spirit of adoption. But then we went on to expound four blessings of what it is to be a child of God. We mentioned the pathway that we're led. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Father seeks to lead and guide His children in the right path through life. And God leads and guides His children by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We mentioned then the petitions the child utters, a little child cries, asks his father to meet his needs. And there in verse 15 we read, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father, 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 and it's a cry to meet the need. The need the child has, he looks to the Father, Father, Father. Meet the need, and we too, we pray, Lord, meet our needs, our temporal, our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. There's not only the pathway we're led and the petitions we utter, but the proof we receive that we are saved and the children of God. But we're told the Spirit, verse 16 itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He testifies internally, He assures us that we are His children and we have peace with God. But then, in closing, and we really only have time to mention it, in closing, we notice the portion that we inherit. Verse 17, if children, if you're a child of God, then you're an heir, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is one of the great titles, the great and the grand titles of a Christian. And though we mentioned it very briefly last Lord's Day morning, I went away with this title on my heart and I felt we should take more time and we should deal with it and examine it more fully. The Christian is a child of God, and as a child of God, we are an heir of God. What does that mean? Well, this title sets forth our position. An heir is one, and the word is generally used of one who receives an allotted property from an inheritance. Now, in the human and earthly sense, it refers usually to when one passes away, it's usually a parent, but it can be anyone. When one passes away, there's an allotted property or possessions, and they are inherited by another. And the one that stands to inherit those possessions or the property is known as an heir. One who stands to receive an allotted property from an inheritance. And it's an interesting fact to consider that the New Testament words for heir and inherit are almost identical. They come from the same Greek root word and they are almost identical. The New Testament word for heir is the word kleronomos. The word, the Greek word, the New Testament word for inherit is kleronomio. You can hear, you can note, you don't need to be an expert in Greek, and I assure you I'm no expert. I have a working knowledge of it to use the concordance. But you don't have to be an expert in Greek to recognize how similar they are. Kleronomos and kleronomio. One means an heir, the other means to inherit. And therefore, as parents lay up for their children, and that's the natural order, that's the biblical order, 2 Corinthians 12 and 14, that the parents lay up for the children, not the children laying up for the parents. As parents lay up for their children who receive their inheritance in due time, so as children of God, we are heirs of God to receive an inheritance from Him. That's our position. We are heirs of God. We stand to receive the great inheritance from the Lord. But that title not only speaks of our position, it speaks of our partnership. Look at the verse again. We are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that an amazing statement? Christ is the Father's heir, being the Son of God. The Son of God who the Father delights in. This is my beloved Son, the Father said three times from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And as the Father's Son, can I say to you that the Father has given Christ as His Son. He has given Him all things that are the Father's. All that the Father has, He has given to the Son. And His Son is the heir to it all. Preacher, where is the biblical proof for what you're saying? You'll find it in Hebrews 1 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, and we read these words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father's relationship with Him. We'll read verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed. The Father has appointed the Son. What's He appointed Him to? Heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. The Son is the heir of the Father's possessions, all things that are the Father's. Let me say, the Father owns it all. There's a little hymn I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I sing, for I cannot be silent. And there's a little phrase in it that says it, my Father owns it all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The Bible says the silver and the gold is all the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All that the earth produces, it's all the Lord's. Heaven is the Lord's. Earth is His footstool. And this verse tells us that the Father has given it all to His Son as His heir. He has placed it all in His hands as His Son and His mediator. Now you listen to that little phrase again and you think of how great it is. We, the children of God, by the new birth and the spirit of adoption, we are heirs of God. We are joint. We are equal heirs with Christ. The Father causes us to inherit that all that is Christ's, and all that Christ has inherited, His children will equally enjoy the benefits and the blessings of that inheritance. That's truly amazing. Us, we who were sinners in the miry clay and the filth of sin who were going to hell because of our sin, and we deserve wrath and judgment for our sin. By God's salvation, He's not only delivered us from it, but He has given us an inheritance that is the inheritance of His Son, and we stand jointly with Him to receive it. That's amazing. Can I just show you before I move on that God gives us Christ's inheritance in equal measure, and I can prove it. If you're back in Romans 8, you'll notice that Paul refers to the glory. Verse 18, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And he speaks about receiving glory. Well, what is that glory that we will receive? And to what measure shall we receive it? Well, in John 17 and the verse 22, the Lord Jesus prayed for His people. And He said in John 17, verse 21 and 22, "that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they may also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me and the glory." Now listen to this, John 17 and 22. "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, the glory that the Father gave the Son." He says, "the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one even as We are one." The glory that the Father has given the Son, He's already given it to us, and it's there as our inheritance waiting for us. But the point I'm making is that we will receive jointly with Christ that glory. We are joint heirs, all that He has inherited. His children will inherit. What a blessing, what a thought. My friend, there's nothing you can receive on this earth, nothing that will ever be as wonderful and as glorious as what the Father and the Son has laid up for His people by way of His inheritance for them. This world with all its goods will seem as nothing when we enter into the full inheritance that is laid up for us. The verse highlights our position and our partnership, but it really leads us on to ask, well, what are our possessions in this great inheritance? What are we as God's children heirs to? Very often the heir doesn't know the fullness of the estate until the estate is settled. Well, praise God, we don't have to wait, because the Lord has revealed it to us in His Word. What are we heirs to? What do we possess? And what do we stand to receive in Christ, by Christ, with Christ, and through Christ? And I know the time is really moving on this morning, but that's what I want to just try to set before you in a little fuller way. What is the child of God going to inherit, or what are they inheriting? Do they inherit through their position as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? There are three things I want to highlight. I'll be as quick and as concise as I can. First of all, we are heirs of salvation. We sang that lovely hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Dr. Paisley used to say, not all hymnology is good theology. Some of the hymns, you could maybe question the theology. Well, that hymn doesn't fall into that category. That hymn is good theology. We are heirs of salvation. And the hymn is based on the Bible, because again in Hebrews chapter 1, the very last verse of Hebrews chapter 1. It's speaking about the angels and their ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That little phrase right at the end of Hebrews 1. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs. There's the word. Those that inherit salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Belongs to Christ. Salvation is the Lord's. Not because He needed it, but rather because He obtained it and He purchased it. Hebrews 9 and 12. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us by His work on the cross. The shedding of His blood, His death, His resurrection. He obtained, He purchased, He possessed salvation for His people, and it belongs unto Him. Therefore, all who are adopted into God's family and are one with Christ inherit, receive, come to possess salvation. Now let me explain something here. There's a sense in which we have already received part of that inheritance. There's a lovely verse. I want you to turn to this one. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, a number of years ago, we preached through the blessings of the believer outlined in Ephesians chapter 1. And you look at verse 13 and 14. Speaking of Christ, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted. In other words, you trusted in Christ. After that ye heard the word of truth, or after you heard the word of salvation, you trusted in Christ, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So there's an order there. You heard the word. You believed the gospel. You were saved, and the Holy Spirit entered into your heart. But look at verse 14. Which is, or the Holy Spirit is, the earnest. The word earnest means seal. The earnest of our inheritance. Do you see the word inheritance? Again, it's from that Greek word, the same Greek word that we get the word heir from. It's the earnest or the seal of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you were saved and the Spirit entered into your soul, He was the seal. God's seal, God's promise of the inheritance that you would receive. You see, when we're saved, we are forgiven. We are justified. We have the Spirit to testify that we are the children of God and to sanctify us. But as an heir of salvation, while our salvation is definite and we are saved, it's a full salvation, yet our salvation will be complete when we get to heaven, when our spirits are perfected in holiness and our bodies are raised from the grave to be reunited with our spirits and glorified in the resurrection. And I'm saying to you this morning that salvation, we're heirs of salvation. What does that salvation consist of? Romans 8, 29 and 30. We're called. We are justified. We are conformed to the image of Christ and we're glorified. Now we've entered into part of that. We've received part of that. We've been forgiven. We have the Spirit who has regenerated us and is conforming us to the image of Christ in sanctification. But the glorification part is yet to be. And what Paul is saying is that the Spirit is the seal, the assurance that you will be glorified and you will receive the fullness, the completeness of that salvation. When your soul enters into heaven, it shall be perfected in holiness at the end of life. And when the Saviour returns, your body will be raised and you will be glorified, body, soul and spirit. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. My friend, salvation has begun. Now don't misunderstand. Salvation, when you believed and you were born again, it is definite, it is complete in the sense that you are saved and it can't be undone. But there's a sense in which it is to be completed at glorification in heaven. And when Paul says we are heirs of God, we are heirs of a complete salvation. We have been saved. We have the Spirit. And we will be glorified one day. That's what we're heirs to. Heirs of salvation. Now the second thing. We are not only heirs of salvation, but we are heirs of heaven. There's a lovely little verse. Let me just quote it to you in James chapter 2. It describes the Christian. Oh, listen to how the believer is described. James chapter 2 and the verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? There's a description of the child of God. They're chosen of God. If you're a Christian, a child of God, you're chosen of God. You're rich in faith. You've faith in Christ. You're one of the beloved brethren in the church of Christ. You love the Lord, them that love him, but you're also an heir, heirs of the kingdom. I believe that's speaking of the heavenly kingdom. Oh, there's an aspect of the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. There's a spiritual aspect, but there's a real, literal aspect to the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And I believe that's what James is referring to when he says we're an heir of the kingdom. An heir of heaven. Heaven is described as a kingdom. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Whereas Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they're in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, they died. Their bodies were buried in the cave of Machpelah, but their souls in heaven. And every Gentile believer from the east or the west, when they enter into heaven, they have the joy and the blessing of sitting down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the parable recorded in Luke 19 and 12, Jesus was likened unto a nobleman leaving the earth for heaven to receive a kingdom and then return. And when the Lord ascended into heaven, he sat down at his Father's right hand and he entered into that kingdom where he rules and he reigns as mediator, as Lord and as Savior. And just as he has entered into the glory of the heavenly kingdom, so all God's children stand to inherit the same. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? I go to prepare a place for myself. Well, that would be true. I go to prepare a place for the angels. That may be true. But he said to the disciples looking at them, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. There's the thought of the joint heirs. All that is Christ is ours.
that where He is, we will be. What He possesses and He has received as the benefit and the blessing of His sacrificial work as the mediator and Savior of the cross, He has received the kingdom. We will receive the kingdom. And He has prepared that place in heaven, a place of many mansions, just for people like you and like me, for the disciples, for His redeemed. And Peter could go on and he could write those words, whom we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Sometimes we put out on the seats, reserved. That's for, say, a family coming for a dedication, or perhaps at a funeral for immediate family. There's a place and it's reserved specifically for them. And Peter could say there in heaven, there's a place reserved for you. The idea of our dwelling place, our mansion, it's there. Isn't that amazing, folks? Doesn't that thrill your heart to think that there in the New Jerusalem right now, there's a place, and it's for me, and it's for you. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. There's good theology as well in our hymnology. For there's a place in heaven just for you. And it's incorruptible and it's undefiled. Our possessions, they wear away. By the house, we can give it a fresh lick of paint. We can put a new tarmac down or a new pathway. We can put new windows and doors on, and in so many more years, my they'll have, as it were, corrupted, or they'll have grown old and need to be replaced, and it wears away. And a nice car that we pride ourselves in, eventually the rust will start to appear on it. The engine will start to give up. My, these things are corruptible. These things can be defiled, but what we have in heaven will never be defiled, never be corrupted, will never pass away. And I say again that nothing in this world can compare with what we stand to inherit in heaven. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But there in heaven it's reserved for us. Friends, let us set our eyes upon things above. Yes, we have to work to get through this life, and we have to provide for our families, and we want as comfortable a stay here as is possible. But let us never hold our possessions or our finances or our earthly material things. Let us never count them too dear, because one day they will be defiled and destroyed forever. And then we enter the eternal kingdom, the heavenly city. And it's there that our eternal inheritance awaits. I want to say one final thing as quickly as possible. We stand to inherit. We are heirs of salvation. We are heirs of heaven. Let me say finally and very quickly, we're heirs of the world. Heirs of the world. Now, not this present evil world, but rather a renewed earth when the Lord Jesus returns. Remember, His Beatitudes are often, I was going to say often quoted, they're often misquoted. And they're often misunderstood. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. I know that's quoted very often at a funeral, and there's a sense that that's fine, but primarily it was speaking about spiritually mourning over our sin, because when we mourn over our sin, we'll find comfort in Christ and forgiveness and peace in Him. But in one of those Beatitudes in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord quoted from Psalm 37, verse 11. And He said this, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit." That's the same word, the same general word for inherit, which is connected to the word heir. They're the same root Greek word. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? They shall inherit the earth. And there is a sense in which God's people will inherit the earth. Not this present evil world marred and stained by sin, but this world when the Lord returns. It shall not be obliterated, rather it shall be renewed. There'll be a new earth. And the psalmist, when he speaks about the meek inheriting the earth, there's a contrast. And I don't have time to really develop this contrast this morning. I would love to do so, but it says he considers the wicked. Evildoers shall be cut off. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. The place of the wicked. The earthly place where he lives and he dwells and he maybe even rules. He might rule in terror or he might rule legitimately but still have an ungodly rule. The wicked, the place. Now the psalmist considered and he says, yet a little while and it shall not be. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth with his teeth and gnashes. The Lord shall laugh at him. He shall see his day coming. In other words, the wicked will not inherit the earth. They have their rule in this day and age and their time on this earth. And they seek to do what they can to make it theirs. But there's coming a day the wicked will be cut off. You'll consider the wicked's place. And the wicked won't be there, and his place will be no more. For the Lord will renew the earth. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. He shall renew it as by fire. There shall be a new earth wherein shall reign righteousness. And the Lord shall reign over that new earth. He shall be king over all the earth in that day. And if the Savior reigns over it, then I tell you, if we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the meek, those that are saved, they shall inherit the earth. And I believe that's what the Savior referred to. And with this I close with in Matthew 25 and 34. When at the throne the Lord is returned, he's taken the throne and he has gathered the nations before him to separate the sheep and the goats. And he utters those words in Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit. There's the word again. A wonderful study. You should pursue this yourself with your concordance. All the things that the saints inherit. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of Christ. Yes, the heavenly kingdom. But when he returns, he shall reign. And he shall reign over heaven and over the earth, the new earth. And as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we will possess and inherit it too. If children, that's what we are by salvation, children of God, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a prospect we have. May the Lord thrill our hearts at the thought and prospect.